Good afternoon, everybody. How is it going? Welcome in to another episode of Thought Talks. I hope you guys are all having a really great Sunday. How is everyone in the chat? Today's episode we have put together is going to be women discussing their personal experiences and careers that are predominantly male. So I'm really excited for this podcast. We've got some really great people. For anybody who will be listening to this at home in their cars, this stream is recorded live on Twitch. So if anyone refers to chat for a question, it's just because we have a live chat going on. But welcome in, guys. How are you doing? If you guys are here for any of these wonderful ladies that we have on the show, feel free to spam their emotes in the chat so they can see that you are here. We love to see that support for everyone. You guys are also welcome to use the command for guests at any point in the chat to be able to pull up their Twitch link so that we can go drop them follows and check them out when they are live as well. So, but it's so good to see you guys here. Let me go ahead and bring everyone on so they can introduce themselves. Ladies, go ahead and say hello to everyone.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
How was your guys' Sunday?
It's going well.
It's good to hear. Sundays are so cool.
Waking up.
Get some breakfast.
I will be getting breakfast after this, or brunch, whatever it is.
Me too. Well, to start off, I'm going to go ahead and have everyone go around and introduce themselves. You guys can talk about your stream, let everyone know what kind of stream you do. Nana, we'll start with you. You can go ahead and introduce yourself and talk about yourself a little bit.
Hi, I'm Nano, Nano Pierogi. Yes, I'm Polish. I'm a variety streamer on Twitch. I do a lot of story-driven games. I also do some like creative stuff. I'll do some art and some cross-stitch from time to time. But yeah, I kind of do Twitch as a side thing. It's not my main, like, I'm not trying to make a career out of it. So it's just a little fun thing I do. And I'm really enjoying it. So.
Barmaid, do you want to introduce yourself next?
Yes, so I am Alexis. I run the tavern over on Twitch. We do story-focused stuff just like Nano, and I also read books or short stories sometimes to you all, and cook. So a lot of visual novels, some dating sims, RPGs, stuff along those lines. And that is my dog that's trying to bust into the room.
You have a husky like me, so I get it.
Yes. as soon as we start, of course.
That's okay. That's how it happens. Nano might have a cat appear. So I'm waiting for it. I'm watching the cam. I'm like, I can't wait to see a cat. Ms. Gator, go ahead and introduce yourself to everyone.
Sure. My username's obviously Ms. Gator. It's right there. I describe myself as a strong variety caster. I've been known to do literally everything from like music, Twitch sings, ukulele, to shooter games, story games, horror games for October. It rotates through pretty quickly, and I play a little bit of everything depending what I feel like. So yeah, I'm a strong variety streamer.
All right. Well, there you have it, guys. For any of you that may just be just now tuning in, I'm Third Artifact. We host this podcast every Sunday, 2 p.m., same time. So we do this on Sundays, gameplay through the week. So variety here too. I feel like most people are variety streamers. Yeah? Maybe?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think playing one game forever messes with your brain, so variety casting is a little better.
I would get really bored, honestly.
Yeah.
Or at least have, like, a genre or something.
Yeah. Gotta have something. I don't know. Well, let's go ahead and dive in with some questions. So, again, our topic today, each of these ladies are going to be talking about their personal experiences in careers that are usually more dominated by men. With that being said, I also want to throw out there that this isn't going to be every single workplace. Each place is going to be very different. So just throwing that out there now, but we will get into that later because that is something that I did want to discuss later in. But let me go ahead and throw a question here, and we'll go ahead and get started with the first one. So just to get everyone better, like on the same page as you guys, Go ahead and talk about what your career is that you'll be referencing to and why you chose that career.
All right, I'll start again. The nano in my name actually comes from kind of my career. I have a bachelor's degree in physics and a master's degree in material science, and a lot of that is working with materials on the nanoscale. So I actually just dropped out of a PhD program. So I've spent 4 years in college doing physics and then another 4 years in grad school. And for two of those, I was working in industry. So under the broad umbrella of engineering, it's a lot of like electrical and mechanical type stuff, but on a really small scale. So it is very male dominated. I have had the opportunity to work with, like, in all of what I've done, it's been male dominated, but I have worked with some really incredible men and some not so incredible men. But my experience, especially at my last workplace, just because it's male dominated doesn't mean it's necessarily hostile to women. And I'm really glad that I've had the experience to work in a, not that I need to specify non-hostile. Anyway, I've worked in some great work environments. I'm actually currently unemployed looking for something new. But yeah, I can speak to what I have been doing and why I got into it. I just liked math and science, and I kind of started that in undergrad, and it was between physics and engineering. I chose physics, graduated, realized that physics really sets you up for more school more than the actual workforce. So I kind of went back for more school after like working at a engineering startup for a year, which, oh boy, we have stories about that. But yeah, I've liked it. I like problem solving. I like math. That's kind of how I got to where I am today.
Very cool. Everyone in the chat is like, you're so smart.
Yeah.
No, I'm not genius. Smart
no, I'm not smart enough to know when to stop going to school. That's for sure.
Mana is OP. Please nerf. That's the best one.
Side effects is sexy.
All right, Alexis, what about you?
So I work primarily in aviation. I used to do mostly flight planning and flight safety. So making sure all the stuff outside of the planes on the airport actually functions. Now I still work in aviation, but my primary focus is on accounting and customer service. So I got started on that when I went to the military. I was in the Air Force for about 4 years. So my job was flight operations and airport operations. So naturally, when I got out of the Air Force, I was just like, I should probably work at the airport again. It seemed to make sense. I went to school for a little bit, but most of my training was either in the military or on the job. And kind of trade school-like training.
Very cool. Very cool. Ms. Gator, go ahead and talk about your career.
Yeah. So I guess I always say by trade, I'm a software engineer. I have a computer science degree. So my career trajectory, I definitely don't have like a really specific, you know, I'm just kind of like pursuing computer science as a whole. So I don't have like a super specific path. I have worked at startups. I was laughing when Nana was talking about those stories. I have some great stories from startups too, because there's no HR department at a startup. But yeah, so right now I work for a company that builds like big contracting, like for, how do I phrase this? Like big contracting jobs for civil projects. So elevators, escalators, stuff like that. And we do like a couple like kind of residential size projects, but a lot of our projects are, you know, like big buildings, like 32 stories, whatever. And my job is to write the software that tells the hardware what to do. So like on an elevator, like I don't work on like, I'm not a technician. I don't know anything about like the actual hardware of the elevator. But what our company puts out is a piece of hardware with like me and the other software engineers software on it that tells the hardware of the elevator, like what to do, like where to send the car, open and close the doors. And me specifically, I work on like custom software. So, you know, I'll write software. If there's like an art exhibit that needs an elevator to do some fancy stuff, like I'll write the software to do that. And yeah, generally I'm like a software engineer and I work mainly in assembly and C programming right now, but I have some web experience as well.
Everyone on this podcast today is way smarter than me, basically. So I want to go back and start at the beginning. So when you guys started in each of your careers, what was it like when you first began in your field? The days where you still had the energy to get up and go to work, basically.
I mean, for me at least, like my first job, I actually wasn't working as like a programmer. I was working as like kind of a, I mean, I was working at a startup. So I was doing like a million different things. You know, I was doing like 10 different jobs, like including project management. And it was like a startup. So they're paying you minimum wage. And honestly, it was like terrible because, you know, I spent five years getting my degree and it was a lot of hard work. And then I started this job where I wasn't using it specifically. And then they were way underpaying me. And I noticed, for me, it was really frustrating because I was basically not supervising a team of engineers, but I was responsible for keeping the engineers organized who were all, they were all outsourced in, the reason I had to keep them organized is they were all outsourced in India and they were all men. And like my boss had told them many times, like I had experience in this field, I had a degree, like I knew what I was doing. And they constantly would assume that like I had no idea what I was doing. I had never seen code. They would like, you know, they would talk to me and like try to like soften the engineering side of their job so that I could understand it because they assumed I had no code experience. And like, you know, we'd tell them that like a million times. And that for me was really frustrating because I don't know, like having a first job like that, you're obviously not like when you start off, you don't have that confidence to be like, no, I know what I'm doing and like stand your ground with stuff. So it was a lot of like me being walked on when I first started because I had imposter syndrome. I didn't have that much experience. Yeah. So for me, I guess to like sum it up, when I first started, it was a lot of like me not being confident enough to like, you know, be comfortable where I was at and like enforce that I was plenty qualified for my position and all of that. So when I started, it was a lot of me getting walked on and being frustrated. And it took me a while to learn that I was where I was supposed to be. Like, you know, that's a position I'm qualified for.
Right.
Oh, same. I had pretty severe imposter syndrome when I started, because, you know, and you go in and let's be honest, you're starting out, you probably don't know a lot of things. So to a degree, it makes sense because you're still learning a lot of like on the job stuff. However, the sucky part is that it has stuck with me until recently, the imposter syndrome, for the past like 4 or 5 years, because I got into the habit when I started of at first being like, oh yeah, no, you're right. Maybe I do need to learn this, which is fine, but that can't go on forever. No. It doesn't work.
Yeah. So for me, when I started out, it was, so I did a year of working at a startup and then I went back to school. So I feel like I'm kind of still in the like, I mean, I'm burnt out, but like, I'm still kind of in like the beginning of my career as a 27-year-old. It's fine. But the thing is, like, I want to echo what both of these women have said. You start out being like, oh shit, I like taking what you learned in a classroom and applying it is something you don't really learn to do until you're on the job. And, you know, there's that imposter syndrome and you need to remind yourself, like, everyone is going through this. Like, it's not you. It's not like, I don't know what I'm doing. Well, you just graduated. No one knows what they're doing. But yeah, I started out, I won't talk about the startup right now, but I'll talk about the position I was at for the past 2.5 years. When I started out there, I kind of had my own project. And I had a boss who from the get-go, like, trusted me to make decisions, like gave me a responsibility from the beginning. And I was like, it was terrifying at first, but actually, so I worked at this company one summer, I interned there, and then I came back a year later. And my boss was like, here's what you need to do. It was a big project in, I don't know if you guys know what LabVIEW is. It's a it's a like Visual Basic kind of, but it's like a programming interface. And he was like, so here's what you need to do. The next Monday, we get an email. He's like, my wife had our baby. I'm out for a week. And I was like, I need help.
Oh, but like, no.
And he emailed me and he like tried to help, but in four sentences, there were three typos. And I was like, I don't think you've slept like at all. So it's, I was very much on my own, but like, that was actually really empowering to be able to be stuck with this task and be like, I have to solve these problems and then be able to solve them. I was like, oh, maybe I can do things. But from the beginning, my boss and everyone I worked with was like really good about trusting me to do things and giving me responsibility and like not talking down to me at all, which was like really fantastic. And it was a change from some of the environments that I'd worked in before. But yeah, it was awesome.
Okay. And now for anyone that may not know what a startup is, can you guys kind of explain that and what makes it different from a normal work environment?
I can talk on that. The company I worked for, at least, I mean, they call it a startup. So in my opinion, the definition of a startup is basically like a new company that hasn't established itself completely in whatever way that is. If their project or if their product isn't completely like solidified, or they're just starting up, they don't have a huge client base, whatever it is. And usually I think companies really are only startups for maybe like 3 years. The company I was working for was like 9 years old and they're still calling it a startup. And that's just kind of like, to me, that's sort of a failing company, not really a startup anymore. But yeah, I know a lot of startups these days are like, you know, somebody like I know software engineer stuff, but you know, software engineer will come up with some kind of idea for a product and then they'll have a startup where they start a company to sell the product and try to, you know, hire people to help them and stuff like that. And what makes it a startup is that it's just not established and they're still kind of trying to figure everything out and get a company off the ground.
Mm-hmm. So a lot of startups do fall under small businesses. So when I worked for a startup, I was one of the first full-time employees that they had. I think they had like one before me who wasn't even there. And it was like a friend of my brother or like an acquaintance of my brother. And it was like in my field, which was great. But the thing with small businesses is if you have less than a certain number of employees, you don't have to offer health insurance for your employees. You don't have to offer, like, you don't have to have an HR department. Like, there's stuff that you can legally get away with not having, because if you have less than like 20 employees, like, I understand why. I understand. I don't want to complain about that. But it definitely makes for an environment that's, that can be really toxic if the people in charge are not very aware of, what's going on.
Gotcha.
But yeah.
Okay. So now we've got some clarity there on some different work environments that they've been in. Now that we've talked like a little bit about the beginning, have your feelings towards your career, have they changed now that you've been in that career for a while? If so, how? Nano, you're smiling.
I want to do something else with my life. sorry. The things that I like about my career, I like math. And the things I really liked about being a grad student, I like solving problems. Like, that's what drives me. But at the end of the day, I realize my career is... I don't know how much I can say. I worked making computer chips. So, like, that is manufacturing. That is soulless. You are a cog in a machine. And, like, when you're at the level where, like, you have to have a master's degree or a PhD... to do your job, you're a very expensive cog, but you're still a cog in a machine. And like all the things that I loved about my job, I saw all of those get like automated or delegated or something. And I have a lot of issues with the industry I'm in, and I really am coming to terms with the fact that like I want to do something that helps people. I want to do something more impactful, and I'm unemployed and looking for jobs, I'm looking for jobs that can kind of pivot my career towards something like that. But ultimately, I'd like to do something, not necessarily in the nonprofit space, but like I would like to use my physics background to do like some sort of environmental conservation, specifically focusing on the ocean. I'm a bleeding heart hippie who picks up trash at the beach. Like, that's a beach day for me. So yeah, it's not what I expected. That is a whole issue. That's a whole other podcast. but I realize, like, I was very stuck in academia, which is very creative. You're asking questions. You are answering those questions. Industry is very like, we got to get a product out. Oh, this is too much money. Like, cut 4 jobs. Like, yeah. And that's what I don't like about it.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Anyway.
I guess my biggest change isn't really a change, but more of a not so fun surprise or trend that I've noticed, kind of hitting on what Nano said. I've noticed in my career in aviation, there has been a tendency for a lot of, at least in the commercial side, non-military side, for there to be a lot of corner cutting and cost cutting, which is very obviously disturbing and concerning to watch. So it's hard from my side at my level, kind of being mid-range, to deal with, because it feels like you're fighting multiple battles. Like, you're fighting with the people above you to be like, no, we need to make sure this is done right. And you're fighting with the people below you to like unteach them bad habits. Would, I guess, be the biggest thing, the change in going from the military, which that's like just not allowed. Like, you will get in a lot of trouble if you don't follow what you're supposed to do correctly, to being like, no, just don't do this. It's fine. Oh, okay.
It's also concerning because you work in like aviation.
Yeah. Like, air travel is still like the safest form of travel, but there's definitely a human factor there. And that's where a lot of issues happen. Not with like equipment or weather or things like that, but it's like 90% issues with people.
Mm-hmm. We cause all the issues.
Yeah, I know. Humans, what are we doing?
We're at fault for everything. What about you, Miss Gator?
Yeah, I think as I've, you know, kind of developed in my career, it's getting easier for me to more specifically decide like what I want to work on. It's funny with like with something like computer science, it's so general that it's like I have to kind of like pick what direction I want to go in. And every job that I get, I learn more about like what direction, you know, I want to pick. And like right now I work for a very like, you know, like corporate America, like we clock in with a fingerprint, like all that kind of stuff. And like it's definitely a little bit like disillusioning to be working a job like that, to go from like a startup where, you know, I can like, I used to be able to like sometimes I would just like oversleep my alarm and text my boss like 2 hours late and be like, hey, sorry. And he'd just be like, oh, just don't come in, just work from home. Like going from that to like a company where it's like, if you clock in 2 minutes late, 3 days in a row, we're going to dock you PTO, stuff like that.
Wow.
Yeah. So that definitely, I'm kind of like over that, but I don't know. It's also nice working at a company that's like very established and has existed for a long time. So it's like, you know, there's working for a startup, like obviously it's very unstable, but working for a company that's been around for years and years and years and is like a big company and like their products are all over the world, it's very stable. But yeah, it's just kind of stressful in a way because there's a lot of bureaucratic bloat. And it's not so bad working for the software department because, like, I mean, this is a secret, but in the software department, like, we basically, like everyone else in the office, we don't tell them exactly what we do because for some reason people think that working in software engineering and code is like this big, scary, magic black box and they don't want to touch it. So, you know, we can basically quote whatever time we want to them for a project and get it done in like a comfortable amount of time. And they have no idea how long it's going to take us. So, you know, if we think something's going to take us 3 days, we quote them 2 weeks if we need to. And like, nobody knows the difference because no one knows what we're doing. But I mean, aside from that, I've definitely learned that I do want to go hopefully work for like a smaller company that builds a product that I'm more passionate about, whether that be like games, computer hardware, like something like that, as opposed to just kind of working on like general, like big contracting machines. And like, it's kind of cool to like see an elevator and be like, oh yeah, the elevator runs my code, but I'd rather work on something smaller. And like Nana was saying, like, I kind of do want to work on something that, you know, like matters, like do nonprofit stuff. Like, I don't know, find something that I feel like I'm, for lack of a better, I know it's like cliche, but that I'm kind of making a difference in the world, as opposed to just like, I make that big box go up and down. Like, but so yeah, I'm learning the direction I want to go in for sure. It's a little frustrating right now, but I definitely now know the direction I want to head in.
Real quick, elevators are a huge accessibility thing. So even though it's like, oh, make box go up and down, like that is making
it's that a meaningful is, box.
It's a very meaningful box to a lot of people. So that's something.
Yeah.
Something I've been doing is like looking for ways being like, well, we're a horrible company, but our products are used in this good thing. So like, there's a way of like finding the good in anything. But yeah, that's
right.
Like, that's actually really like, that makes a difference of people being able to go places or being able to live places where they wouldn't otherwise be able to. So
every time, so when we were at TwitchCon, we were on the 43rd floor. Every time I made it to my floor without the elevator dropping us 40 stories, I silently was like, thank you to whoever put this together. I live to see another day.
Yeah, it's like a weird niche thing that whenever I mention it, okay, whenever I tell people I work on elevators, they say one of two things. They say, oh, does that job have a lot of ups and downs? Or they say, so if I ever get stuck in an elevator, it's your fault. It's always those two things. It was funny the first like six times I heard it, and the seventh time I was like, oh my God. And they're like, what, isn't that a great joke? I'm like, no. Not original
understand.
At all.
It's like working as a cashier and hearing, there's no tag, it's free.
Yeah.
Like,
God. No, the original, wow. But that's a really good point. And like, I do tend to be more passionate when I'm working on projects that are for something like, mm-hmm. like just something cool. Like I'm working on a couple of projects for like I was talking about earlier, like a big art exhibit. And I mean, that's just a cool thing to work on. Like I want to work on this like weird elevator that they wanted to do like some art stuff. It like has some delays and like random, it's hard to explain the weird custom they have going on, but they wanted to do stuff like that. And like, it's cool to me that I'm like, that's going to be something that a lot of people are going to enjoy. And it's going to be some, you know, a unique experience that I got to be part of. And I definitely want to, I was telling my coworkers, I just want a ticket to the art exhibit. And I just want to show up and just stand in the elevator and be like, I made it do that. And everyone's gonna be like, what are you talking about? I'm like, the elevator, this is me. And they're gonna be like, who cares? But I'm still gonna say it.
All right. So my next question, is probably a question that like a lot of people have been waiting for me to ask. And that's, with working in a career that is predominantly male, have you ever encountered sexual harassment, whether it was with you or another coworker?
I think most of what I experience is men trying to be funny when they're not. They're like, oh, isn't this good? Hey, I know this is a sex joke, but I'm saying it as a joke, so it's okay.
I know this is a sex
joke. Most of what I experience. They're like, because I'm joking, it's fine. Even though they're really not joking, they'd probably be totally down.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about. Just because you're saying it as a joke doesn't mean it's an appropriate joke to make. There's still that line there. So
yeah, I don't know what order we're going in, but I've experienced kind of similar things. I always make jokes about, like, literally, I think when everyone starts an office job or like a new job, you know, you kind of always like you start a new job and then you always have those couple of people that you start talking with like more friendly, and then you get kind of excited because you're like, oh, I'm not like alone in this office anymore. Like I have a buddy. And every single time that's happened to me, I talk to them through emails or whatever for like a day. And then they say something just like super weird. Like the mild ones were like, they'll call me like little lady, or they'll call me like dear or sweetheart, or baby's another super weird one for like a corporate email.
What?
Yeah, all this. And then my worst one is, I was like talking to this guy at my work, And we were like emailing, and this was like my third or fourth week there. And I was like really excited because I was like, I have a buddy now. I have someone to talk to. And we were talking over work email, but it was like very like chill conversation. Like it was like, what are your hobbies? Like very like, what are you doing this weekend? And I made that choice that I was like, it's fine. Like even if HR sees this, I don't care. Like we're just casually talking. It's not going to be a big deal. Like I'd rather be on the record. And I don't mind. And at one point he sent me some kind of message along the lines of like, oh, I bet you never have to like lift anything heavy here. And I was like, what? And he's like, I bet there are plenty of men willing to lift things for you.
What?
And he was referring to like, I told him this story that someone in production, like I went to like help them move stuff. And they were like these big batteries that were like heavy, but not like crazy heavy. And literally the guy I was helping, like he couldn't find help except for me. And as soon as I went to lift the box, three men ran over and were like, we'll lift it. We'll lift it. And I was like, no, it's fine. And one of them literally had a bad back. And I was like, no, it's fine. I'll lift it. Like I lift weights. Like I can lift the box. Like it's no big deal. And they all ran over and like, oh no, we can never let a lady lift this. And like the guy with the bad back was like lifting the box. And I'm like, this is so dumb. I'm 20 years younger than you. I lift weights and I'm willing to help because like I'm in training. I have nothing better to do. And they're still just like, oh no, no, it would be so rude of us to like let a woman lift the box, which I understand how to a lot of people that doesn't seem like a sexism thing, and it seems like just a nice thing, but it's really frustrating when you're just trying to exist in a space and like get things done and people are constantly reminding you like, oh, you're weaker than us, and like all this kind of stuff. It's like,
yeah,
I don't want to talk about my gender anymore when I don't have to.
Yeah, like it's one thing if they offer to do something just to be nice, but it's one thing if they're like, I'm gonna do this because you're a woman.
Yeah,
then that's where you, and especially the guy has a bad back, he's just putting himself in further danger. So
yeah, and I don't think they would be, honestly, I don't think they would be offering that help if I wasn't like a 25-year-old woman, you know? I think if I was a little bit older, a little bit more established, they wouldn't be doing that kind of crap. And like, yeah, the worst thing I ever heard was that same guy I was emailing with, like, I mentioned to him conversationally that like I have a twin sister, and he emailed me on a work email. He said, oh, so who's hotter, you or your sister? And then in like right after that, he said, I'm just playing though, JK, you don't have to answer that. And it was like the same thing. It's like, this is a sex joke, but like, I'm joking. So like, I'm completely covered. And then I was just staring at that email and I was like, I could literally just forward this right onto HR, my guy. Oh. Like, and like to that fact, like he was so unaware that that's wildly inappropriate that like he did it on a work email, which just like blows my mind. Like the lack of awareness.
It's like one of those memes where it's like, ha, just kidding. Unless. Like, I was waiting for the unless.
Yeah, no, it was, he just said, like, I'm just playing in a work email. And I was just like, oh my God.
Why are you playing
at work? And yeah, ever since then, I basically quit talking to that guy. And he basically, like, he works in, like, the, like, administrative kind of department. So he's, like, made, like, mini threats to me about, like, running up my internet history and stuff like that to, like, he said, running it up the flagpole, like basically he wants to report me doing like very innocent stuff to like upper management. So I get in trouble. Like we're talking about like, you know, I was using Spotify to listen to a Focus playlist and he's like, oh, I'm going to run it up. And I'm like, really, you're going to tell like upper management that I was listening to Focus music on Spotify? You really think they're going to waste paperwork and HR time on that? Like, okay, for sure.
I hope you keep your receipts in case he does.
Oh, I did. Oh, you know, I did.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. What about you, Nano?
So I don't, I haven't either myself or like known any friends that have been subject to like sexual harassment, but there's always like, there's boundaries that get crossed all the time. And when the job I worked at, except for the very first summer I was there, I was the only woman in the group. It was a group of like 10 to 12. And I was the only woman in the group. And I, like, so one, like, one of the other interns, so I was an intern for 2.5 years because I was a grad student, that's a whole thing. But one of the other interns just, like, straight up asked me out. And I was like, no, no. And then another thing that's, like, I don't remember. This was not at the same time, but like, I don't remember the exact context, but one of my coworkers, and like, we have a really diverse office in terms of like every aspect. Well, no, it's just in terms of nationality. Like, not a lot of women, not a lot of LGBT people. And I remember one of my coworkers came up to me and like, he might not have realized this was like a inappropriate thing to say. And he was like, just casually mentioned that he was talking to one of the other interns and was like, yeah, he asked if you were gay. And I was like, nah, she wouldn't be a lesbian. Which like, I have a girlfriend. It's fine. but like at that time I didn't, but I was like, oh, it's weird that you're talking about that.
Yeah.
And then like, I went to this conference and it's always like, I was treated well. Every once in a while, there were little things like my one coworker couldn't remember women's names. Like I worked with her for 2.5 years and he like, every once in a while would get my name wrong. And I was like, no, that's not my name. But I went to a conference 2 years in a row that was, let's see, it was 50 people. 1 year I was one of 4 women, and the next year I was one of like 7 or 8. My mic is cracked. I don't know what to do about that.
The weird thing is, when we were talking earlier in Discord, it didn't do it at all.
Okay.
Yeah, I think sometimes it has to do with like the internet connection, but yeah, continue. It's not bad, in my opinion.
Yeah, so there was, first of all, I was talking to one of the women there who was an invited speaker. Like, they had specifically sought her out to work there. And this guy came up to us and was like, are you the wives of presenters?
What?
And I laughed at him because I thought it was a joke. and I was like, no, I present on Tuesday morning. Like, this is fine. And then just during that conference, like it was a super chill conference. There was like an open bar and stuff. So everyone's drinking, everyone's like kind of relaxed and like has their guard down and stuff. Mm-hmm. Just the conversations I overheard, like, made me uncomfortable. Like, the fact that like I'd be standing there in a conversation with a bunch of men, and then all of a sudden they're talking about like peeing in the woods and like the mechanics of that. And I was like, Yup, I can relate to this. And there was another time. Okay, so you know how in chemistry, when you're filling the orbitals of an atom, you have like the spin, you have to fill spin up before you fill spin down. Is this too obscure?
No, I totally
yes,
know
I know some of those
about.
Words.
Yeah, for sure.
they were like, well, it's like when you're at a urinal, you don't take the one next to the guy, you have to like space him out, which is like stuff I've heard before. But I was like, it's weird that my advisor is making jokes about peeing and electron spin. Like,
all right,
I totally know what you're talking about.
Universally relatable experience.
Yeah, and I would make comments and then everyone would pause and be like, oh, there's one of the females here, like, and like bring it back down. But I was like, this is the fact that I'd have to be like, hi, I'm here and I'm uncomfortable, like, this is a professional setting, this is fine. Yeah, that's what I would deal with in that regard. But that wasn't super common. That was like, you know, at a conference where everyone was like kind of more casual. But yeah, it still happens.
Yeah. I know there was one thing that we didn't talk about that from my personal experience, I wanted to bring up. I worked for a insurance agent and it wasn't like predominantly male. It was split even, 2 women, 2 men. And my boss, who oversaw the entire thing, the agent, would make side comments about appearance. Not to be like, oh, you know, you need to wear like black pants at work, not jeans. Not like that. I'm talking like, I was talking to my manager and said, yeah, I think I might cut my hair just because I don't want to like brush it every day. And he would say, why would you do that? I like girls with long hair. And I'm like, well, then grow out your own damn hair. Like, oh. Remarks about appearances. And I remember telling, again, my manager, not talking to him. He wasn't even, like, around, like, he was across the office, talking about taking my husband with me when I went makeup shopping. And I talked about how happy it makes me because he doesn't complain about it. He just kind of goes with me, and I'll even be like, which lipstick do you think I should get? And he'll be like, that one would probably look better on you. He was like, that is so stupid. And I had mentioned, like, I told people before, like, guys, like, oh, if a girl wants to go, just go with her. Like, she watches football games with you. Go with her there. Like, it's an equal thing. And he's like, that's the stupidest advice. And if you think that's, like, good, you need to talk to a real man. And I was like, my husband's not a real man because he'll walk into a makeup store. I'm not even talking to you.
You can't bring masculinity in a makeup store. It just falls out the door as soon as you walk in. It's gone forever.
It's too fragile.
It's like the guys shatters on entry.
We're too afraid to walk into like Victoria's Secret or whatever.
My husband's like the opposite. He's like, you want to go in there? And I'm like, no.
You want like a step in there? I have a lot of opinions.
I have thoughts.
I just, oh my, I'm not going to go there. That's for another time. I guess I'm going to go there. You guys remember the one February, the one around Valentine's Day, Victoria's Secret released an underwear that literally had like a heart-shaped hole cut out right on the butt.
No, but that's
you
incredible.
Don't remember that. Like there were so many jokes. There was literally like a heart cut out of the butt part of the underwear, like there was nothing there, and we're walking around the mall and he goes, well, that's interesting, do you want to go look at that? And I'm like, no. It's missing half the material and yet it's full price.
Yeah, I was gonna say, it's gonna be full price for
So
I'm surprised it's not more expensive.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's got this cute design.
There's an art charge.
You don't even have to take your underwear off when you go to the bathroom.
It's just efficient.
So romantic for Valentine's Day.
But yeah, comments about physical appearance that don't need to be made. Like, it's one thing if you come in and you're in a workplace where you see customers and your shirt literally says, I'm boss ass bitch, 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 like down it in like sequins, and you've got like a juicy sweatpants on. Like, okay, like I get it. That's against dress code. But things like what I do with my hair is none of your damn business. Miss Gator, earlier we talked about how what you're wearing right now, you can't wear at your workplace.
Yeah. So my work, like so my first day, I was understandably nervous. I remember I kind of fretted over my outfit because they didn't give me any kind of dress code. And I wore like a full suit to my interviews. The vibe there was like I think – so my second interview when I like interviewed with the people I would be directly working with that would be like on my team with me, I was wearing a full suit, but they were all kind of wearing like polos. I think one of them was wearing like a t-shirt, like a Hawaiian shirt. Like none of them were like dressed – they didn't look like they had just rolled out of bed, but they weren't like in button-ups or anything. Like sometimes they wear button-ups, but like short sleeves, all that. So I remembered that and I was like, okay, so I should be fine if I wear like some black skinny jeans, some like flats and like a nice blouse. Cause my old job, you know, we'd have to go see clients. So I have a lot of like nice, like I prefer them like sleeveless blouses with like flowers on them, whatever. And they're all blouses like that are sleeveless, but they're like all the way up to my neck. Like, you know, it's kind of like a tank top, but you know, the shoulders are thick. And they're specifically like meant to be worn with suits. Like they're very conservative shirts. So I wore one of those my first day and I had a cardigan because it was like a little bit cold and the cardigans look professional too. And during the first HR meeting where they kind of went over all of the rules, I was like having I was feeling a little bit uncomfortable because she was going over just all of the rules of the super corporate company. And like I said, I had just came from a startup and I was sitting there and I'm like, should I have taken this job? Like, what did I do? Like, this is going to be so many rules I have to follow. And she handed me the dress code. And I remember like I was taking pictures of it. She walked out of the room and I was taking pictures of it and sending it to people. And I was like, oh my God, what year is it? It was things like, I can't even remember specifically, but they were talking about like very specific types of pants you're supposed to wear. And then like it said no tank tops, which is really vague. Like that could mean anything, honestly. They could be talking about spaghetti straps. They could be talking about like 2-inch thick or whatever, or like low cut shirts, blah, blah, blah. So when the HR woman came back in the room, I was like, so what do you really mean by tank tops? And I pointed to my shirt and I said, does this count as a tank top? And it was just like I said, my shoulders were showing, but like nothing else. It was just sleeveless. And she said, yeah, that's actually inappropriate. You should keep your cardigan on. And I was like, immediately so mad. Cause I was like, what am I like, you can't really find shirts that like look decent with like, you know, like sleeves. Like that's weird and hard to find. You don't find like professional women's shirts with like little sleeves on them. Usually they're sleeveless or like long sleeve button ups. So that was like such an obnoxious wake up call to me. And then, you know, I was walking around the facility and there's men in hoodies, t-shirts, things like that. And I'm like, okay, so I literally have to wear, like, I literally have to cover myself. I have to cover my shoulders. That's like the silliest thing ever to me. And, you know, and it's hard to shop for that job because like, I don't like, I don't wear, I mean, obviously I'm wearing long sleeves now, but especially during the summer, it's like, I don't want to have to wear long sleeves. And you basically have to, if you want your shoulders to be covered and you want to look professional. And I don't know. Yeah, it was definitely like frustrating for me. And that was like an eye-opening experience, like especially working for a startup before and like people would wear sweatpants to work and no one cared, which in my opinion, that's how it should be. Cause yeah, I'm in software engineering. I'm not client facing. I'm behind a computer all day. I see my like five immediate coworkers, maybe a couple other people, and that's it. Like there's no reason for me to be dressed professionally. I see my, even like my boss, like my manager, I see him once a month, maybe. Like there's no, I have nobody to impress. Yet I have like a much, much, much stricter dress code than the men do. Like the men can kind of wear whatever they want. Like I said, like hoodies, stuff like that. But like by the book, I'm not supposed to wear any of that. And I'm supposed to have my shoulders covered and wear long pants, basically. Which is weird in 2019, in my opinion.
Yeah. Because what's sexual about shoulders?
It's, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if like they're sexualizing it or they're just like, the other side of it is the fact that it's like, so a woman can't be professional if her arms are showing? Like what? Mm. That like a nice conservative like blouse. And then if my arms are showing, that immediately makes me look unprofessional. It's like, that just doesn't make any sense to me at all.
Mm-hmm. And what you said about how it's hard to find things that like are professional that cover your shoulders, I can definitely relate to, like, cause I'm client facing. I have to look professional and it has been so hard for me to find things, especially in the summer when it's really hot. To find things that are not tank tops, but still look like business casual, unless I want to wear like cotton polos. But let's face it, I think those are tacky or horrendous.
I hate the way they look. Yeah.
They are so awful, but I feel it's so hard to find things. And at that point, it makes me wonder, like, what are retailers thinking when they make these things? That they don't have a dress code in mind. They are going by what's cute and pretty because girls should be cute and pretty.
The other thing, like, it kind of speaks to your point that in order to dress like that, I have like very much kind of switched to dressing more masculine, not completely masculine, but like more masculine than I dress in my day-to-day life because like, I don't really have a choice. And that's kind of frustrating for me because generally I like to be as feminine as I want at work because I think it's important for people to see like a feminine, like, very like, you know, very female, for lack of a better word, like software engineer. Cause I think it like challenges anybody who has negative perceptions, like, or bad stereotypes. Like it really challenges them that, you know, it's like, I'm a very feminine, like I'm wearing makeup to work and like, I wore cute shoes and stuff like that. And I work in the software department. Cause most people don't guess that I work in the software department. They guess that I work in sales or customer service. So it's really nice when people are like, oh, you must be in customer service. Cause you're a 25-year-old female who's dressed cute. And it's like, no, actually I work in software. Like that's important to me to like, If I can be kind of a rare person with that stereotype, then, you know, it's important to me to like challenge people's perceptions in that way. Mm-hmm. Oh, shit. Thank you for the gift sub.
Now, I don't know about you, because when you talked about long sleeve button ups to cover up sleeves, I have a hard time with those because the buttons, when you button it, the material still separates right at your breast. Like yeah. Right there where it's so inappropriate. And I've even like gone up in sizes. And the only way I found to find button ups that won't gap is to actually buy men's button ups that are bigger and like looser even here. So like there's actually this green flannel behind me that is a men's button up flannel that I wear to work. Just throw a cardigan over the top of it because that's the only thing I can find that's – because everything that they make on the women is like – super, super tight around like the chest and the stomach. And it's like, but now it's gapping and I might as well just unbutton it and just have full on boobs out, I guess, because they're out there anyway, because that's how this fits. And it's super frustrating.
That's Yeah, it's an interesting thing to navigate because I've experienced the same thing. And part of me wants to be like, I'm going to wear something feminine and like, I'm going to be feminine. And you all have to deal with it. And then the other part of me is like, I want to wear something kind of loose fitting so that nobody really pays attention to that because I don't want, when someone comes over to ask me a question, I don't want them to think like, oh, woman, I just want them to like listen to what I'm saying, which might be partially internalized. I don't know. But it's like, you know, I think people talk to you differently, like, especially like, you know, older men in a work environment, they talk to you differently if you're wearing like a cute little outfit as opposed to you wearing like a button-up shirt and black pants with like minimal makeup, you know, which annoys me because I don't think that should be the case. And I want to go against that. But at the same time, I don't want to sacrifice like my position and my credibility. So it's
right.
It's interesting to navigate for sure.
You want
to
show it's that hard. Women can have this like, you know, pretty dominant career and you want to be like, look, like we can do it too. But you also don't want them to be like, oh, oops.
Yeah, exactly. And it's so, yeah. And it's like, some days I want to be like, obviously I don't like show up to work in a bra, but it's like, I don't want to wear a shirt that, you know, is like this all the time. Cause that's like, I don't want to cover up my femininity because some men at work can't deal with it or they don't want to think about that when they're like talking about professional things. Cause I think, yeah, like it's just, we should expose people to that. Like people should just deal with it. Like you should prove to them that this has nothing to do with me being intelligent or not. And yeah, just to reiterate, I'm not talking about like wearing like really scandalous stuff to work. I don't think that's appropriate, but it's like stuff. I don't believe in constantly wearing things that completely cover up my entire body because we're living in 2019. Everyone should just get over the fact that like women have boobs. That's like a thing. Like you see them sometimes. Like
men have boobs too.
That's true.
I know, because I've gotten to the point where, well, part of it's laziness, I'll admit, but like I don't even like wear makeup to work anymore because I don't want to deal with it. And like it's something I've been going back and forth on, like, should I start being more feminine or not? And it's been kind of this internal struggle lately, to be completely honest. So I feel that.
No, I completely relate to it. Yeah.
Or when you do wear makeup, everyone's like, oh, what'd you get all done up for?
Oh, I know.
For me. For me.
Who you trying to impress? Like,
whenever people bring up the makeup thing, like it's like, why do you wear so much makeup? I'm like, you're telling me that if you were like allowed, for lack of a better word, I mean, like no one questions it, if you were like allowed to paint your face every day of your life, you wouldn't do it? Like, I love painting my face and putting crap on it like different ways every day. Like, and people, like men act like that's like this, or some men act like it's like this weird like black box thing where they're like, why do you do that? I do not understand the appeal. And it's like, have you seen like glitter, like anything, like shiny stuff? Like, of course I'm going to do that. Like, duh.
If you could wear special pants that made your dick bulge look a little bit bigger, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I bet everyone's like, no, I wouldn't wear that to an office. Yes, you would.
Absolutely would. Lies.
You'd look at yourself in the mirror and walk out and be like, hell yeah, I'm ready for work.
Looking good. Oh, especially in the sweatpants. No, but like, it's all about making yourself feel better too. Now we've been talking a lot about like in male dominated careers, but what has been your experiences? Have you guys worked anywhere that is predominantly female, and how does that compare to male dominated careers?
I personally have no experience in a female dominated environment.
Do any of you guys have any?
Honestly, I wish I did, but I can't say that I have. I've had workplaces where it's a little more equal, which were major improvements, by the way, because I think part of it is just people getting used to, oh yeah, there are women around existing. Okay.
Whoa. They exist too. that's fine. That's something that I could go into a little bit because I do have experience in a female dom, because I actually worked in a bra and underwear store and we had no male employees. It was all women. We had guys apply, but it was always interesting because we would have, like, I'm sure some of them didn't mean any harm, But the kind of clients that we saw, just because of our brand, I mean, I'll go out and say I worked for Aerie. If anyone's familiar with Aerie, very like no photoshopping, you're beautiful for you, not super sexualized like Victoria's Secret, more tame. But we would have like a lot of young girls who are just getting into being able to wear bras that were scared to have like a measurement done. So I would even be like, listen, I don't have to measure you. You don't have to like show me you in a bra. I'm going to give you a bra. I'm going to tell you how it should fit. And you can tell me through the door how it fits. And from there, I can help you just so you feel comfortable. Imagining those same like 12-year-old girls having to do that, but with a man, it was always like, I don't. It was just weird because it was like, I don't think that they would be okay with that. They might freak out. You might have parents are like getting upset about it. Every then again, we would have like men come in who just like to wear bralettes. For anyone that doesn't know, it's basically there's no underwire, there's no padding. It's just cotton that goes over you. I'd have men that would come in and buy those simply just because they like them. And they weren't like, they weren't gay or anything. They were just completely straight men that just liked them. And they would always be like, when is the best time I can come in and use the fitting room where there won't be other people? I don't want to make other people upset. And quite frankly, I don't want other people to know. But the way that I have felt with it being different from male dominated careers, working with my experience in car dealerships, is of course, like you have like your sexual remarks when working in those situations, like you should smile more. I got that a lot. I didn't get that when I was working with all women. It was a different type of, I don't know if it was harassment, but toxicity that you could get with working with all women. Certain things like there would be comments about what people wore. There was still that judgment there where, oh, she's wearing a crop top to work today. That's slutty. Like I heard an employee say that. A lot of it was more like behind the back kind of talk. So I wanted to go into that a little bit saying, you know, not female dominated careers are not like superior to male dominated careers because you still get those rough work environments. It just feels different. It's not so much of, ah, hey, like your top makes you look so slutty. It's more of that looks slutty. So it's still there. It's just not meant as a joke to make it hit lighter. So I wanted to go into that. But I mean, that still also still goes to show that there's not too many career paths that are predominantly female unless you get into, I don't know, maybe nursing, possibly, daycare workers, the jobs that would probably fall under the caretaking roles. Something similar to what back in the 40s and 50s, women stay home and take care of the family, stuff like that. Cleaning jobs, probably predominantly female, that sort of thing. But what is something that you guys would like to see employers do to make the workplace a better environment for everyone?
One thing I would specifically like to see is for those of you who have experience dealing with like more customer or client facing positions, them not putting up with crap from like male customers and stuff. Because I think when you have an employee that works for you and is causing problems, like obviously your boss feels comfortable with dealing with that. That's their job. But it can be more difficult when, like, you know, maybe a customer's being inappropriate and maybe crossing a line to kind of put them in their place.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause that is something I've dealt with.
Yeah. What have you seen?
And it's, you know, nothing too severe, but stuff where it definitely becomes uncomfortable. Like, for example, I've had situations before where people would like be very insistent on like asking me out to dinner and pet names and wanting like personal information about me that I just like, you know, don't want to share.
No.
And so like being able to give the people that work under you or yourself like the power to be like, yes, this is a customer, I get it, but hey, that's not okay. Still, I would like to see more of.
Mm-hmm. I can second that. I worked in retail for 7 years and we would have like, I honestly, like, a lot of it was just, like, old men. Old men would come in and be like, I need a cute girl to, like, model these for me. Like, stuff that he was buying for his daughter. He was buying stuff for his daughter and needed someone to, like, try them on and model it for him. I even had a guy tell me that he went over to the Buckle and bought more from the girl because she was hot. And he was like, I would let her, like, shop around with me all day and, like, just started talking about this employee in a sexual manner. And I was like, and here I am helping you right now pick out jeans. You better buy, like, a lot from me because this is disturbing. So I really didn't know what to do in that situation other than just kind of nod my head and just be like, yeah, okay, so what do you think about this color? So, Gator Nana, what about you guys?
I mean, I think it's, I'm trying to figure out how to, like, phrase this the best way, because I experience, like, mostly pet names, because, you know, it's a very subtle kind of, like, the thing I don't like about it is that it's, like, a very subtle way to constantly, like, reinforce, basically, that, like, I'm below somebody. Like, you know, it's, like, if someone I'm on equal footing with, like, peer employment-wise is calling me dear, sweetie, stuff like that, that very much indicates to me that they don't respect me at all. Because I would never, like, somebody I respect in a work environment, I would never call them sweetie, sweetheart. Well, I guess the male equivalent would be, like, boy, sport, kid, you know, like, stuff like that. And it's, when I've talked about this before to, like, men in work environments, or I've heard them talk about it, it's a lot of, like, people are too sensitive these days. You just have to let it roll off your back and things like that. And that's a really frustrating argument to me, because it's, like, obviously, I don't really care if you call me sweetheart. I'm not personally offended. What I'm upset about is that that is a very strong indication and symptom of a much larger problem and, like, a discrepancy in respect. And that very much says to me, as soon as you call me sweetheart, darling, whatever, that very much indicates to me that, like, you're not listening to what I'm saying. You see me as, like, some 25-year-old attractive girl, and then you're not listening to me talk to you about this job. Like, people will come up to my desk, ask me a question about my software that I wrote for them, and they'll be like, hey, sweetheart, X, Y, and Z. And it's like, are you serious? Like, it's like, okay, so you're not going to listen to what I'm saying. Like, you think that, like, it's like that. I guess that's my point, is that it's hard to describe to people who haven't experienced it, that it's like, it's not the pet name that's the issue. Obviously, I don't care. Because if you look at it at, like, a surface level, it's like, no one really cares if you call them sweetheart. It's not an offensive name. But it's the larger problem that is, it's a symptom of a larger problem. And for some reason, people are really averse to acknowledging that and, like, stopping doing it themselves, or when they see other people doing it, like, is telling them to stop doing the pet name thing, because men who do the pet name thing are obviously clueless and will most likely listen more to other men when they're told, like, you know, if another man is like, hey, dude, you shouldn't call her sweetheart because, like, she's your peer. It doesn't really matter if she's 25 and blonde, can't call her sweetheart because that indicates she's below you and you view her as a sexual object. So I guess that's my point, is I think it's important for people to, like, speak up and explain that to people. And that would be nice if I would say, like, a seminar, but I know a lot of people don't listen to seminars, and the people who are part of this problem are going to go to a seminar and be like, this is stupid. So it has to be, like, a more, like, peer to peer thing. But I think that that's what needs to be addressed more, is, like, people talking about the reason that the pet names are not okay. Not just saying, like, you can't call people pet names, because that does seem, on surface level, that seems like a very nitpicky thing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they see it as people just are too offended. So that's how they validate their own feelings of they don't have to listen and they don't have to do it, because people are just get offended easily, when really, like Moose is saying in the chat, they say it in a condescending manner, and it can be very objectifying. So it's different when my mom is like, hey, sweetie, can you hand me this? Versus like what you said in the workplace when people address you. Were you saying, Nino?
Context.
Yeah. And Alexis, what were you saying?
Oh, no, that was it. The only other thing I would have to add, because I know I have, like, female friends and stuff that I, like, call hun. I don't know why I use that word so much. And I've had males, like, see me call this other girl, like, hun, and they'll be like, well, why can't I call you this name? Yeah. I see Gator's like, no.
Gator has feelings. I'm here. No, it's, well, to me, it's like, generally speaking, like, in And this, I don't want anyone to like jump on me for this, because I know that when I speak this generally, a lot of people will like jump on, you know, not all men kind of thing. But it's like with women, it's kind of implied that you're on equal footing. Like when I call a woman like hun, sweetheart, like, you know, I use BB like kind of ironically a lot of the time, you know, like, oh, thanks, BB and stuff like that. It's not condescending to me or sexualizing them, because it's like, it's kind of, it's with two women, it's kind of obvious that's not what you're doing, you know, because it's like, we're both on equal footing. It's kind of like, you know, like women can use like women derogatory terms as like a joke. And I'm not saying everyone agrees with that, but it's like, you can use it as a joke and it's more acceptable than when men do it. Cause it's like, we're on equal footing. This isn't me, you know, hitting you in the face with the fact that I'm above you. This is me just making a joke or something like that, because I'm not above you. I can't use this word the same way that someone who is implied to be above you can. Like, mm-hmm. so to me, that's why, you know, when a 40-year-old man calls you sweetheart, you know, that they're being condescending. But when it's like, if one of you guys, like, I don't know, messaged me on Twitter and was like, hey, hun, I would just be like, oh, hey. Cause it's like, I know that you're just being nice. I know that you're not trying to sexualize me or reinforce the fact that I'm below you in some way, you know?
To kind of go into that a little bit more, it's also, if you're going to refer to like all genders using that word, it's like, then it's pretty equal. Like, is a guy going to call another guy sweetheart? Probably not. If they don't normally do it, but they do it to a girl, then that is condescending. Kind of like what Knighton is saying in the chat. He said, being gay, hun is like my word. Literally, he says hun to me all the time. He says hun to everyone. Like, he uses it in the Discord. So for him, it's not condescending, because I know, like, he says that all the time. It's part of him putting a point across. Usually it's like, I spilled some tea and he's like, oh, honey, no. Like, I get it. It's not coming across as, hey, hun, can you, like, that sort of thing. And how prison is also addressing, like, girls calling each other thoughts. A lot of it goes into what are you trying to get across? Because a lot of people call people on Twitch thoughts in a meaner of saying, like, you're lesser because you are a female. Which here we are saying, well, no, your words do not deter us.
Yeah.
So it kind of goes into this pretty well. But yeah, that's basically a way to tell, like, if there's any guys out there, like, how do I know what is going to come across condescending? If you would refer to a guy using that, like, casually, not trying to be funny, in a normal conversation, if you would say that to your guy friends, then it's not. But if you only would refer to a girl by that name, then it's like, unless you are like in a romantic relationship with her, then if it's just a friend, you know, kind of like how I call everyone dude and guys. I always say, dude, okay, you guys. Like, I say that for everyone. But I also wanted to ask, because I think that this is something that I've seen as a couple different movements for this. But when it comes to inspiring more women to get involved in male-dominated careers, what is something that you guys would like people to do, or something to see happen to inspire more women to pursue jobs that are not typically jobs that women choose?
Sorry, I have a lot of feelings on this.
Go for it.
I'm just going to jump in. I think it's less about inspiring women to pursue those careers versus, like, creating environments where women can stay in those environments. So, like, I know a ton, like, when I was younger, I was homeschooled, so I didn't hear the, like, women aren't good at math and science until I was, like, way older. And at that point, I was like, that's dumb and wrong. I'm really good at this stuff. But, like, There was nothing, I don't know, maybe I'm speaking from a different place, but, like, for me, the challenge was not being interested in what I do. The challenge was getting to the workforce, or even getting to college, and realizing that it's male dominated. You have to fight your way up. You have to do more to be taken seriously. So it's less about inspiring women to pursue those, and more about creating environments where, when women are trying to pursue those, they are welcome and they feel comfortable and they feel safe. And then another quick thing is like something Gator was saying earlier was talking about like being feminine. I think, especially when I was younger, I was a huge tomboy. I was really into like, I was just like all the tomboy stuff. I was never girly, but I like kind of wanted to be, but I felt like, so I was like a big gamer in middle school and high school, mm-hmm. but I felt like I couldn't be girly and a gamer at the same time. And gotcha. I think a lot of that, like, feeling like if I dress more like masculine or more gender neutral, I am taken more seriously. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like kind of just showing women and girls that, like, on top of like creating better environments, just showing women and girls that you can be feminine and you can be an engineer, you can be feminine and be a software engineer, you can be feminine and be in the Air Force. Like, femininity and being good at these traditionally male-dominated things are not mutually exclusive. And, like, you don't have to, like, shirk your femininity to be taken seriously in these fields. And that's kind of, I don't know. I think it's good for us to be examples of that. And, yeah.
That gave me chills, honestly.
Yeah, it was perfect.
Which is great because I'm over here sweating. So I was like, oh, that gave me cold chills. That's kind of nice, yes. But what about you guys?
I would have to agree with what Nano said. Because, like, I know I saw the stats for it a while ago, at least with, like, engineering and STEM-focused careers. Like, you'll have plenty of women who will, you know, start out and get into those entry-level positions, but then you'll see like a drop off, you know, partway through the career. So that tells me like, okay, there's something happening there that's causing them to leave. So the problem is not that they're not interested. They don't want, either they're having other issues or they don't want to deal with bullshit. You know, so that's more where the focus needs to be.
Yeah, I actually, it's interesting you mentioned that about how like women will leave that career path like a year in, because I had never really thought about that. I started thinking about, like, I was kind of lucky in that, like, I didn't feel any kind of, I don't know, like difference being like a woman choosing to be into computers until I hit college. Like, I think that was kind of a unique experience for me, because I think, you know, I had a twin sister who was also really into video games. And the reason that I got involved in software engineering and stuff like that was I was kind of like, when I walked into college, I was kind of generally like, I like computers. And I was like, yeah, you know, like software engineering is like vague enough that I can do whatever I want with computers. Basically, I can go whatever direction I want. Like, I work on hardware even a little bit now and stuff like that. But I think a lot of the disparity comes also from like before women even get into the workforce. Like, my graduating class in college was like 19% female. And I personally, this is anecdotal experience, but I personally don't think that a college environment, at least my college, is super discriminatory towards women in STEM. I don't think that's exactly where the divide starts to happen. I think it starts to happen like much earlier, because generally speaking, like younger women aren't, or younger girls aren't really like encouraged to be into STEM and stuff like that. Because I think it is generally seen as masculine when they're younger and stuff like that. And I think that a lot of the things that get people into software engineering are masculine hobbies. So like video games, anything like mechanical hardware engineering, building microchips and computers, like all that kind of stuff is masculine. So by the time that people are picking their college majors and stuff like that, like women haven't even considered that as an option because it's just not in their head. I think it's less to do with like, I don't think people walk into college and someone tells them like, hey, you're a woman, you can't pick that software engineering. It just doesn't even like cross their mind because they haven't been introduced to that field of interest. So I think when you have younger girls, I think that they need to be more exposed to that kind of thing and it needs to be more normalized, which a lot of that is unfortunately just kind of like time. Like, I don't think we should be shoving, you know, I don't think we should be telling women they have to be software engineers or anything like that. I think we should just kind of be encouraging the ones that are interested in that kind of stuff. And then, yeah, other than that, it's just time and normalizing, you know, women being in these fields and hoping that like the numbers of women who are interested goes up. But obviously, like, you know, women starting in the workforce, that's a whole different conversation. I just think mm-hmm. it's interesting to kind of track earlier, like where this interest comes from and like how we can encourage it in women, because obviously, ideally, a computer science class should be 50-50 genders. Mm-hmm. I don't know if, you know, I think my point is, I think that starts a lot earlier than like college and discrimination and like feeling uncomfortable in the environment and stuff like that. I think it needs to come from like an interest in software engineering younger.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It would also be kind of cool to see them have like, for some schools have more options. So I know like when I was in eighth grade, we had a tech class. But honestly, it was mostly just like building and putting stuff together. Mm-hmm. So, and discussing like, you know, if you're good at this and like this, these are like career paths you can choose based off of this. Just really talking about the different options that these classes can give. And really forming that interest there, and building off that. Now, what would you say to any women or even like young girls that are interested going into the field that you've worked in?
I would say, like, at least what I kind of needed to hear when I was like leaving college and stuff like that was like kind of reinforcing the fact that like you're meant to be in this space. Like you have the same experience everyone else does. Like the men, at least in software engineering, tend to be like very overconfident. So it seems like they know everything. And I remember I'd sit there and I'd be like, oh my God, I know nothing. Like I'm screwed. Why did I pick this? When in reality, it's like with that kind of like, again, I'm not all men. I'm taking my anecdotal experience. Like with that kind of masculine energy, they tend to be very like overconfident and like say they know things that they don't and stuff like that. Whereas women tend not to be, women tend to be a little bit less confident and kind of be like, no, can you teach me? I don't know this, which is fine. But I think it would be important for me to hear like, trust yourself that you're qualified. It's okay to ask questions. Like, no, people actually think that you're more qualified if you ask questions instead of just being like, yeah, oh yeah, I know that, and then messing it up later. So I think that's something that people, especially just entering the workforce, need to hear. Basically, like, you know, you're qualified. You know just as much as everyone else here. Like, you're good. And yeah, younger girls, same thing. Like, you know, there's no reason you can't be in this space. Like, especially if it's a minority percentage that are women, girls, female. It's like, it needs to be reinforced that it's okay for you to be in the space just because there isn't as many of people like you, given, you know, I guess women in this situation. It doesn't mean that you're not supposed to be here or you know less than anyone else here or you're any less qualified. I guess generally just like encouragement and making sure that people are comfortable even if they're in like the minority percentage of gender in that class.
Okay. All right. What about you guys?
I think for me, like a big thing in my life has been imposter syndrome and kind of feeling like I don't belong. Just kind of spread, like sending the message that you are not going to know everything. Like you're going to graduate, when you graduate college, that's not, you're not done with your education. You're not done learning. Like you will be learning, hopefully, like your entire career. And like when you start working, you're going to be learning more. You're not like, no one expects you to start a job and know everything. And I think just also like reach for stuff that you think is out of your reach. Because I read somewhere that men will apply to jobs if they meet 60% of the qualifications and women will generally apply for jobs if they meet 90% of the qualifications. So that means, and I have so many friends that are like, I applied for this job and I thought I was so underqualified and I got it anyway. And I think, and that's something I'm like trying to teach myself right now. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, reach for stuff you think is out of your reach. You're always going to be learning. And like, you belong there. Like, that's kind of what it comes down to, I think, for me, that I would, the message that I would send. Words are hard. I don't know where to start talking.
What about you, Alexis?
My biggest piece of advice would probably be to, even though, you know, it's a small percentage, it might be hard to find, is to find like other women, you know, classmates, coworkers, teachers, friends, whatever, who you work with, see regularly or something. Because a lot of the frustrations aren't needing somebody to teach you something. It can be like that emotional catharsis of having somebody who just gets what you're going through can be kind of invaluable. So like at the office I worked at, there was a long period of time where it was only one other woman who I was working with. And having somebody there who's like, yeah, I get it, was really helpful. So I'd say if you can find somebody like that, definitely do that, because that's what's going to keep you going mm-hmm. when all the craziness starts to happen.
We all need somebody to lean on.
Right? That's a big one. Like, I had two friends at my last job. They worked in different departments. But, like, we would go and get pizza every couple of weeks and be like, oh, my God. Like, just being able to commiserate. And, like, commiserate over things that seem nitpicky. Like Gator was saying before, things that seem nitpicky but are, like, a symptom of a, like, a whole mindset. It's just, it's nice to have that. And another thing kind of along the same lines is I have one of my committee members was a woman, and it was, I don't feel like she treated me differently. It's hard to explain. I felt like she held me to a really high standard, but was more understanding of what I was going through. And, like, she was the easiest of my committee members to talk to. So, like, and it's hard to be like, find a mentor in your field, because, like, how do you even do that? But I think mentorship is, like, really important, mm-hmm. As well as having peers you can relate to.
Do you think it's harder to find a mentor? Is it harder for you guys to get a mentor in a career that's predominantly male?
I've never tried, honestly. I think, at least for me, right when I graduated college, I was really... It's almost like in college, people tend to, like, overcompensate. And at that point, I was just really tired of hearing about how I was a woman in the field. And that was unique, and it was going to be hard for me. I was like, I'm tired of talking about this. I just want to go do it. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I would think it wouldn't be too difficult. Because, I mean, like I said, I think my, like, software engineers in general are, like, 17 to 20% women. So it's like, I think it would be theoretically possible. It might be a good idea.
So one of the things that I found really beneficial about having a mentor who's also a woman is, like, I like being a woman in my field. I like being a woman. Like, I am proud of who I am. I am proud of where I am. Currently unemployed. I'm proud of where I was, like, 6 months ago. But, like, the thing that I found about having, but sometimes, like, I don't want to be seen as a woman in my field. I want to get to a point where we are seen as peers and we're treated as peers.
Yes.
And that's what I felt from the one woman on my committee. Was like, it's not that I feel like she saw me as an engineer. Mm-hmm. And, like, not that my other committee members didn't. It's just, like, I don't know. I felt more respected and more understood by her. But yeah, I don't know. I want to get to a point where it's not a big deal, but, like,
yeah,
it still is.
It's like, I think about that a lot. Yeah,
it's like when we talk about, like, women being treated equally. This is what we're talking about. This is the exact thing we're talking about. But yeah, everyone immediately goes to, that means I can hit a woman back, right? Like,
just don't hit people.
That's a good place to start.
It's hard.
Was there anything else that you guys wanted to add?
I mean, I just really like the way that Nano phrased that, because I remember I had this, I went to PAX East earlier this year, and, like, it was a lot, that convention in particular, for some reason, was a lot of people, like, talking to me, like, oh, wow, like, you're a female streamer? That's really interesting. And it's like, yeah. And then, you know, I talk about my career, and they'd be like, oh, you're a female engineer? That's, like, so interesting. Wow. And I got really tired of it. And it's kind of exhausting that, like, they're not interested in the fact with connecting with you because you're an engineer. They're interested in the fact that it's like, oh, you're a female engineer. And it's like, it's when you first start a career field, it's kind of interesting to be, like, a novelty, but at the end of the day, it's like, I'm so tired of talking about this. Like, it's like, yeah, I don't really have a choice. Like, yeah, I happen to be female. I didn't, like, pick that. What I did pick is software engineering. And I remember I had a couple conversations with people who, like, didn't talk to me like I was a female software engineer. They talked to me like I was a software engineer. And I remember the first time that happened to me, I realized what was happening. And like, I almost wanted to cry because it was so nice just to be like talked to like an equal, and my gender didn't matter. It was just like, I was a software engineer, and like, and we talked about it, and it was so nice to like talk to somebody who wasn't like making me prove that I knew what I was doing, or they just wanted to hear about my experiences as a woman in like a male dominated workforce, which obviously I don't mind talking about. I'm here. But like, when that's all people want to hear about, it's like really frustrating. And it's just cool. Like, again, Nana was saying that when people view you as your career field and your interests, it's not more interesting just because of your gender. And same thing, you know, streaming, gaming, anything that's male dominated, a lot of people will be like, oh, it's so cool, you're a woman. And it's like, I had no choice in that.
But look at my work ethic. Value me for what I do, not what I did not have a choice in picking about myself.
Yeah.
So exactly. Please like me for my personality, not because I'm pretty.
There's more to that. Like, yeah. I didn't pick my face or my gender or my age.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for being on here and talking about this. I think this is such an important thing to talk about. It definitely relates to streaming as well. So I'm glad that you tied that in. And I think it's very important for people to hear and learn about, and can definitely be helpful for any women out there who may be interested in male dominated careers, but are a little shaky and unsure. So thank you guys for being on here. I greatly appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, thank you for having us.
Great to talk about, for sure.
It was a joy to work with you guys. Thank you for being flexible with my chaotic schedule.
You're fine.
Now we'll go ahead. This is a really great stopping point. So we'll stop here because I know, we're all hungry. Alexis has some pancakes waiting for her.
No, they delivered them late.
We have to end quickly. The pancakes.
I'm gone.
Pancakes are important.
Well, at least like the butter will have like melted into the pancake just right.
I know.
That's my favorite. There you go. Pancakes now. So what we'll do?
Everybody's gonna go make breakfast.
I know. That's what I'm gonna do. Definitely. Thank you everyone for being here, being part of the chat. We greatly appreciate you being here. The next episode that I'm going to be doing is again next Sunday at 2 p.m. Same time, same place. The next topic we're going to be discussing is going to be body paint artist. So very excited for that one. So I will be announcing guests soon. I still have to get the last two. I have plenty of DMs. So if any of you guys have messaged me about being on the show, I apologize for the delay. There's been a lot of messages. So other than that, you guys, there's the links right there to go follow these girls. Check them out. They're all really amazing. I hear a puppy.
Oh, yeah, she's done.
She's like, please let me in. So we'll go ahead. We'll go ahead and raid Amelia real quick. She's a really awesome person. We've been talking to her about being on a podcast about artists. So that will be announced way later. We're still putting that one together too. So if anybody's interested in being on an episode, do DM the Thought Talks Twitter account. That's how I keep it organized. Other than that, like, I really hope you ladies have a great rest of your day. Like, seriously, I cannot thank you guys enough for being a part of this. Like, you guys are what make Thought Talks great.
Yeah, it was a great time. Mm-hmm. It was cool to talk about this.
Amazing. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you again.
So I love you guys. All right, we'll end that here. Thank you guys everyone for being a part of this. Thank you for showing up. You guys all have a great day. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye. Bye.